Welcome to Just a Minute. Sue Perkins here, and as the minute waltz fades away, what a joy to welcome you to Just a Minute. And welcome, of course, to our live physical audience who are with us in good cheer today. Let's also introduce you to the four fabulous people who are playing the game today. They're Paul Merton, Zoe Lyons, Ria Lina, and Giles Brandreth. Please whoop and go crazy. I'm going to ask them all to speak on a subject I give them for 60 seconds without hesitation, repetition or deviation. Let's see how they fare. And we'll start with Paul. Bristol is on the card. What a fabulous city. Can you speak for 60 seconds, please, without hesitating, repeating or deviating on Bristol? Your time starts now.
I had many happy times in Bristol, from doing stand-up comedy there to presenting silent films. Improvisation shows have also been something that I used to do at the Colston Hall, which I think has now been renamed for reasons that we are probably very aware of. In the newspapers recently, the statue of that man was knocked over into the river and probably a good...
Ria.
Was that hesitation? Or just
there was
stumbly?
A little whiff of hesitation, I'll give you that. You've got 42 seconds after that correct challenge. It's a lot of time. It's a lot of time, so I hope you're familiar with the beautiful city of Bristol. Your time starts now.
My familiarity with the city of Bristol is only limited to that which I know from doing stand-up comedy there, much like Paul, but also because of recent events where there was a statue that got pulled down and then put in a river, a canal. Not sure, wasn't there, didn't do it myself, although I can't say I agree or disagree. This is not a political show. Going back to Bristol, my main association with Bristol is actually of a shoe shop in the Netherlands, which is literally called Bristol. And I bought shoes there growing up because that's where I grew up. I know it doesn't explain the accent. Back to Bristol.
Oh, Zoe.
I may have fired too soon, which...
I think you did.
Yes, I think I let off too soon.
You let off too soon.
It was a growing and a growing. Apologies. I'm sorry, my lover. And...
don't you worry. Ria gets to keep it. And you've got 11 seconds. And your time starts now. Giles. Charity begins at home. What is your challenge?
My challenge is simply to tell my friend that I interrupted in order for the benefit of the doubt to be given to you because it's your first time here. But when the voice says your time starts, that's when you speak immediately.
Okay.
You don't then take a breath.
Giles, am I now to be called the voice? Have I fallen so far in your estimation I no longer have a name?
Sue, you are one of the many voices in his head.
It's true. They're virtually indistinguishable now, I believe.
Yes.
So you're trying to claim that you buzzed in and interrupted Ria in order to re-educate her as to the rules of
no,
the game.
No, I wouldn't want to patronise her in any way at all.
Well, you've certainly given her a point for that incorrect challenge. So you play as individuals, not as a team. All right.
That's what the voice says, Ria. You may find it could be a bit different.
I don't know when to start my breath, Giles.
Giles, I'd be careful because the voice has quite a lot of say as to whether you win or lose. So, Ria, you've got 9 seconds on Bristol and your time starts now.
The city of Bristol is southwest of here. I know it's beyond Bath. The other thing I know about it is it has its own...
Zoe.
Something.
No, I know, I know.
Yes, you know. And it gets you the point in the subject. And you do get that with 5 seconds remaining.
I can do this.
You can do this, Zoe.
Bring it home.
Don't mess it up, Zozo. Don't
I need
mess
you
it
to
up.
Talk
for
about
me,
Bristol.
Zoe.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
5 seconds starting now.
I love the city.
I just wanted to say I think Zoe can do it as well.
Thank you. It means a lot, Paul, it means a lot.
A gentlemanly intervention, if I may say, and one that gives Zoe the point and the subject back with 3 seconds. I think we all believe you can do it now, Zoe.
I can get this wrong, sis, so don't look it up. I know me.
Okay, 3 seconds, your time starts now.
The Clifton Suspension Bridge is my favourite architectural point in Bristol.
Yay! Yeah. Wonderful stuff, you get the point. And we are with you for the next subject. A rather interesting character on the card. Elon Musk. Elon Musk, oh indeed. You've got a character viewed by some in the audience with suspicion. You've got 60 seconds on Elon Musk, starting now.
If you need to borrow a fiver, you could do worse than asking Mr. Elon Musk if you could have some of his money. The man is absolutely minted. This wealth comes from a variety of projects that he has fingers in, including electric cars, which are apparently better for the environment, but they do require an awful lot of AAA batteries, and they are difficult to plug in the lounge. He also likes to send things into space, including one of his own roadster vehicles, which is entirely what the outer stratosphere needs right now, isn't it? More junk in that place. He is a strange man who tweets a lot, which is remarkable, given that he is extremely busy with all of his different...
Giles.
Well, it was a repetition of man. I brooded about it, and then I thought...
Did you brood?
Did you brood that? Couldn't you have brooded a little bit longer?
I've just realised that Elon Musk is an anagram of Noel Scum.
Yeah, it is.
Noel Scum.
Noel Scum, S-K-U-M.
It's a correct challenge. It is a correct challenge. There was a repetition of man.
Taken.
I wish you had tarried for another 15 seconds and Zoe could have spoken for the entire minute because you were going beautifully. You really were.
I've got to be honest, I'm a bit like a Tesla, I was running out of charge. I was getting anxious that I wasn't going to make it.
Well, let's see where Giles goes. He's got 15 seconds. Giles, the subject is Elon Musk, starting now.
How wrong can Paul be? In fact, I have Siamese cats, and to give them culturally appropriate names, one is called Elon Musk, and the other is called Jeff Bezos.
Paul.
Oh, well, harsh, but repetition of called. One is called...
And oh, yeah,
called.
No, fair enough.
I think utterly justified.
Yeah,
yes.
Absolutely.
Yes, I'm now invested in the cat's name. One's called Elon Musk,
and the other is Jeff Bezos. Puss, puss, pussy, pussy. Jeff. Bezos, Bezos. Come, Bezos, come, Bezos. No, Elon.
Is there a nurse in the audience?
I feel bad. I feel like I've sort of allowed it to happen in some way. I've sort of given him the space. Yeah.
We had Richard Branson put down.
Well, hard to know where to go from there, but we go thankfully to Paul for a little bit of sanity, one hopes. It was a correct challenge. You get the subject. Elon Musk with 6 seconds remaining, starting now.
You may not know this, but Elon Musk is actually an anagram of Noel Scum. And I realised this myself several seconds ago when Zoe...
Paul, speaking as the whistle went, gets that point. Rhea, we are with you.
Oh.
Right, what have we got in store for you? We have, a wonderful instrument, the ukulele. The ukulele. Don't you mock, it's a fantastic gateway string instrument. Right, ukulele, you've got 60 seconds starting now.
People might be surprised to know that I used to be a musical comedian and my instrument of choice was the ukulele. Not because it's imminently portable, but because I don't have enough fingers to play the guitar. As you may know, that instrument has 6 strings, and the ukulele only has 4. I have 5 digits. The ukulele is the favorite instrument of George Harrison.
Paul!
Bit of a hesitation.
Yeah, correct challenge. Well done, Paul. You get the subject of the ukulele for 33 seconds, and your time starts now.
George Harrison and Paul McCartney bonded over the fact that both of them played the ukulele, apart from the fact that they were also in the Beatles.
Oh, Giles.
Repetition of fact.
Oh, yes.
28 seconds on the ukulele, my friend, starting now.
The ukulele is a beautiful instrument that came to birth in Hawaii. Portuguese people took over to that country a wonderful mandolin that was adapted to become a ukulele. It returned to this country and became hugely popular in the 19...
Zoe.
Country? Repetition?
Yes, indeed.
2 countries, yes.
Yes, a couple of countries.
Oh, wow. I surprised myself there, Sue, sorry. I need a minute, I'm all right.
Smashed it, as per, I would say. You've got 16 seconds, you're taking over the subject of the ukulele.
It starts now.
The only reason I would play the ukulele is because it's so small and I would look like a giant striding around the grounds with my tiny little guitar. I would say, look at my ukulele. I am a massive person with a tiny little instrument.
Giles.
Repetition of tiny.
Indeed there was.
You have fast thumbs. You've beat me twice on the thumbs.
I've been told that.
Yeah. Mainly by himself.
Oh, dear.
Giles has had the Just a Minute buzzer grafted onto his thumb. Very, very strong work, Giles. Much as it galls us, you've got 3 seconds. The poacher strikes again. What can you tell us about the ukulele in 3 seconds starting now?
When George Formby played the ukulele on the British Broadcasting Corporation...
Yes, you just got in there, Paul.
Yes, he didn't play the ukulele. It was a cross between a ukulele and a banjo. It was a banjolele is what he played.
Oh. But as the only ukulele player here, I think, it is still a ukulele. It's still 4 strings with the same spacing. It's just a different body.
If it hadn't been for social distancing, there would have been a full embrace.
Well, that's something we can thank the pandemic for, then. Yes, I mean, I would say, as a newer player of the game, Rhea, be careful about encouraging Giles. You know, I'm going to say that just to make Giles stop, I'm going to give that to Paul. And Paul, you've got 1 second to tell us about ukulele, starting now.
George Formby played the ukulele.
Hey!
You know that you shall get the benefit of the doubt sooner or later, Giles, as will you, Rhea. As you say, the only ukulele, working ukulele professional amongst us. Giles, my strictest teacher...
Ooh.
Strictest teacher. What can you tell us about my strictest teacher starting now?
My strictest teacher was arrested. And the case is quite an interesting one. The reason he happened to be find himself in such trouble was because he had a Billy Bunter fixation. And the school I was at the time, he liked to think of it as Greyfriars. And I was a little bit on the round side, a little bit like, ooh.
Yeah. Zoe.
Two little bits.
A couple of little bits.
Two little bits made Giles on the round side.
Yes. I mean, I think I speak for all of us saying we will have to ask some supplementary questions about that story. Whether or not Giles gets the subject back, we will have to see. But that was a correct challenge. Well done, Zoe. You get the point and the subject. 37 seconds remaining on my strictest teacher, starting now.
My strictest teacher was called Mr. Buckley, and he terrified me. When I was at primary school, perhaps 9, maybe 10 years old, he would stand at the front of the class and bellow at us in his booming voice, "Have you done your homework?" And of course, I hadn't done the acquired project that night because I was too busy watching stuff on television. So I knew I would have to lie to this particular person in the classroom on this occasion. I would say, "I have not completed the task that you set me."
Pause buzzed.
Oh, sorry. I was in my own world.
Yes. So. You were right back.
I was thinking, I am doing brilliantly here.
You were
doing
brilliantly.
I've never got this far before, and I hadn't.
Paul, you buzzed.
Yes, I thought it was hesitation.
There was a tiny scrap of hesitation, but I have to say, you did sensationally, to the point where Paul only has 9 seconds remaining. But don't worry, I have a feeling you're going to smash a minute in this show. I have a very strong feeling. 9 seconds, Paul, your time starts now.
My strictest teacher was a nun called Sister Galista, and she was about 6 foot tall and resembled an angry pint of Guinness. She had a white band across the top of her head and the rest of her... I should point out that other angry beverages are available.
That's the end of our first round, and just looking at the scores. In fourth place, we have Rhea, Zoe just ahead. Just ahead of Zoe, we've got Giles, and leading the pack, we've got Paul Merton. Now, Paul, we're back with you, and your subject is bingo. Can you speak for 60 seconds on bingo, please, Paul, starting now.
All the sixes, 66. That's one of the calls that bingo became very popular throughout the 1960s. My mother was a keen player of bingo. She went to the various halls that had been adapted from old musical theatres, and there was a real sense of camaraderie, I think, amongst the players of the game. She particularly enjoyed the fact that she could meet up with friends and maybe have a cup of tea or a short glass of wine and play together this magnificently simple game, but one that...
Charles. Repetition of game.
Yes, yes, there was a repetition of game. You've lost none of your fiendish spark, have you, sir? Very well carried by Paul for 27 seconds, leaving you 33, Giles, with that correct challenge. On bingo, please. Your time starts now.
It was in 1921 that P.G. Woodhouse introduced the character of Bingo Little in one of his most wonderful and amusing works. I essayed the role of Bingo myself when the late, great Derek Nimmo, who had played the part on radio and television, was taken ill, and I was invited to be Bingo. What fun it was, because he is a romantic figure in this wonderful Woodhousian world. And I approached it with gaiety in the old-fashioned sense and came on waving a tennis...
Paul has challenged. That's,
are we allowed to review our theatrical triumphs ourselves?
Sandy, I don't think narcissism falls within the rules of Just a Minute. Otherwise, Giles may well have been banned many, many, many decades ago. I will allow, with 2 seconds remaining, Giles to carry on. Oh, dear. For those who couldn't see Giles in that moment, he was juddering, I think is the best way of describing it. A sort of victory judder. We'll see how long that lasts.
Circuited.
Yeah, it might be. Maybe the love eggs are playing up. We'll see. So, 2 seconds remaining, Giles, on bingo, starting now.
Oh, to be a bingo caller, that would be my vocation.
Ah, oh, well done. Speaking as the whistle went means that Giles gets the point. Zoe, you're up next. A queue at the post office.
Oh.
A queue at the post office. 60 seconds, please, starting now.
I actually really enjoy a queue at the post office. It's just a bit out of my busy day to relax and have a little bit of me time. I enjoy standing in a queue at the post office because I can peruse the cards that are available. Happy birthday. Sorry you're leaving. In deepest sympathy. There seems to be a lot of those, presumably because people die in the queue at the post office. I get to the front of the queue and then I have to decide what it is that I want to purchase on this particular occasion. Is it stamps, maybe, for an envelope I am sending far afield, somewhere around the world? I'm going to take the Queen's head and lick the back of it with joy, slap it onto the said piece of stationery and watch it disappear into the bowels of the post office. Where will it go from there? Onto a plane or perhaps a train? Maybe a...
Rhea, has she deviated?
She's on a plane.
That's really far from the queue.
It was a majestic reverie that I'm very keen to hear the end of.
Okay.
We're allowed a little bit of slack. That was a breathtaking 50 seconds.
Whoa.
And I'd like to hear 10 more, please, at your leisure. I say at your leisure, I'd like you to start now.
The best bit about a queue in the post office is the VIP strap that they put up to make you feel special while you're waiting an eternity to get served. Cashier number 4, please. The bellow comes up.
Wonderful stuff. Rhea, now, you have the look of a very well-behaved citizen, do you?
Okay.
Yes, you do. And that's why the perfect crime is your subject. But won't you tell us about the perfect crime in 60 seconds without hesitating, repeating or deviating, starting now?
The perfect crime, some would believe, is committed by somebody who doesn't know the victim, has no criminal record, steals nothing and takes nothing and tells nothing. I know, I said nothing twice.
Oh, I'm sorry. There were two nothings.
There were a pair of nothings.
There were a pair of nothings, which comes to quite a lot in this game.
I was intrigued by that. Let's hope we come back. It sounds like you know exactly what you're talking about, Rhea. Zoe, you've taken the subject on. 51 seconds remaining, starting now.
The perfect crime requires a lot of planning. I think I would enjoy being a bank robber to a certain extent. I wouldn't actually do the nitty-gritty bit of it, but I would perhaps do the driving, take away the car from the scene of the perfect crime. I'm quite a responsible driver. I would not park on a double yellow line outside the said financial establishment. The other perfect crime that I would consider is perhaps disposing of somebody using a weapon made of ice, because when you left the building, it could melt, and therefore leaving no evidence whatsoever that you have indeed performed the perfect crime. The perfect crime is something that would remain in the back of your head for a while.
Giles.
Something for the third time.
Yes.
Oh, three. Thank you for being generous.
A repetition of something indeed well listened out for, Giles. So, I'd like to hear what you've got to say on this. The perfect crime. 11 seconds remaining and your time starts now.
I was already contemplating the perfect crime when I met Q at the post office. Yes. Was his name. An actor who played the role in the James Bond movies. And together, we conceived the perfect crime.
Giles was speaking as the whistle went and gets our next subject. One of your favourite films, I believe, Braveheart.
What?
Braveheart. Yes, you know loads about it. Come on, it's your subject. Braveheart. 60 seconds. Crack on.
But starting... he's got a cat called Braveheart.
Braveheart, Giles, 60 seconds starting now.
Braveheart may seem like an unlikely name for a dog, but... he looked exactly like Mel Gibson, and he was a Scottish Chihuahua. So we thought, this Braveheart is what our pooch is going to be called from now on in. And we took him on extraordinary holidays up to walk through the heather chasing William Wallace, which was the name of apparently a poodle from a nearby village close to St. Andrews. Extraordinary. Braveheart turned out to be the boldest animal...
Paul.
Well, it feels more like an intervention than a challenge. But it was, there was hesitation.
There was indeed hesitation, yes. Good also to hear about the dog side of the animal family there.
Yeah, exactly.
The Brandreth household, but a correct challenge. Well done, Paul. You've got 25 seconds, please, on Braveheart, starting now.
Braveheart is one of those films I've never seen. I'm aware of the poster, and I have probably witnessed clips of it being shown on various television programmes, which were there to promote this movie experience. Braveheart, I suppose, if we think about it, embellishes so many different characteristics that we think of in Giles Brandreth. He has to be brave to show up in public, and he's obviously got a heart that embraced everybody around here. And I think I can safely say, what time is it? That's where we go.
Just got it.
It seemed a long time.
Yeah, just got over the line. Rio was challenging, but he was speaking as the whistle went, so you were a nanosecond out there, Rio. So, end of the round, let's have a look at some scores. We have Rhea on her one of her earliest appearances in fourth place. Ahead of her is Giles, then Zoe, and ahead again is Paul Merton. Well done, guys. We're now entering, sadly, the final round.
Oh.
I know. Paul, the subject is the pawn shop. Oh, sir. You speak for 60 seconds without hesitation, repetition or deviation on the pawn shop. Paul, starting now.
I visit a local pawn shop on many occasions. My favourite periodical is Giles Brandreth as Nature Intended. It's a monthly periodical and is full of colour pictures which I pin up and stick on my wall. There was also a film starring Charlie Chaplin made in 1916 called The Pawn Shop, spelt P-A-W-N. It's considered one of his finest comedies and it was made during a time when he was becoming world famous. His brother, Sid, had joined him in this filmic enterprise and the two of them constructed a two-reeler which was full...
Giles.
I think the repetition of two is not going to be allowed.
No, because I imagine two-reeler is hyphenated.
Yes.
Mm. That would be my adjudication. So if your challenge is repetition of two, I'm going to disallow it because I think two-reeler would happily sit as a hyphenated and therefore...
Good, well, that's been established.
Well, Giles, I've the voice has spoken.
I've loved it.
Ha ha ha. So, Paul, you get to keep the subject. 28 seconds remaining, thank you, on the pawn shop, starting now.
His appearance as Bingo Little, sporting a polka dot bikini, reclining against the wall, is something I shall never forget. His eyes sparkle with allure. His hair blows in the wind. There's something about GB...
GB.
Charles Brandreth.
Yeah. No, I just love calling GB is marvellous. Rhea.
Something twice.
Yes, there was a repetition of
it.
Something.
Was so good, though. Yeah. When Paul's on a roll, it's a kind of courtesy of the programme. Because I think also the listeners...
Giles, I love you, but the mental picture was too much.
Was it?
It was a bit much.
I sense the Giles, erotic charge, that's all.
Correct challenge, Rhea.
There is
well
an erotic
done.
Charge. It costs you more in the Greater London area, but there is a...
well done, Rhea. Correct challenge. Fabulous. You now have the subject of the pawn shop, and you've got 16 seconds to bring it home, starting now.
I've never had to take anything to the pawn shop. I've been very lucky in that I've been able to sell everything that I need to make extra money on eBay, like my watch, which I needed to sell... I did. I stopped myself at that point.
It's self-editing. I've got a lot of respect for that. You did buzz yourself. What's your challenge with me?
I said sell twice.
Yes, you
absolutely.
Earn a point.
Do I get to... Well, you get the point and you get to keep the score. But the voice wishes to make it entirely clear that this will not be happening again. The show will collapse on itself in a vortex of narcissism and madness. So, correct challenge on yourself, Rhea, means you get a point and the subject with 6 seconds remaining, starting now.
When I last went to the pawn shop, I was disappointed because none of the magazines that were there that Paul said were...
Rhea was speaking as the whistle went, means she gets the point and ends the show. Let's have a look at scores. Rhea played an absolute blinder in third place. Well done, you. Tying second, we've got Zoe and Giles. But today's winner, please give it up for Mr. Paul Burton. And there, my darlings, I'm afraid we have to leave you. But first of all, thank you to our delightful players of the game today. Paul Merton, Zoe Lyons, Rhea Lina and Giles Brandreth. We are indebted to Ian Messiter, who devised the show, and to Nicholas Parsons, who chaired Just a Minute for over 50 wonderful years. We also thank Caroline Barlow for blowing her whistle with aplomb. The producer was Richard Morris, and it was a BBC Studios production. This is me, Sue Perkins, a.k.a. The Voice, saying thanks for listening, and do join us again when we play Just a Minute. Thank you.